Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawksmith, Jim Galante here by my side, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio once again. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're starting to count down the days to the first of two signing periods, but for now we're going to look back on the past few days of news, past few days of action. We're going to look at, this was something that Greg Pickle assembled before he so arrogantly decided not to show up today. I'm just kidding, he's sick. The scholarship table for 2020, which is really interesting when you look at the depth at all the different positions and you look at that overall scholarship number and how it matches up with the limit of 85, the work that needs to be done to get down there. So we'll look at the depth chart. We'll also look at where those scholarships are going to be needed to welcome in 27 plus commits in the 2020 class. Ask Greg is going to be Ask Dustin this time around. We'll talk Penn State basketball with Jeff Brown coming up a little bit later. Good weekend for Pat Chambers and his team. So we are off and running. And one of the first things that stands out is the weekend in recruiting, where the philosophy shifts, I guess, from hustling and hitting the trail hard to bringing that class together, you know, of 2020 commits, almost all of them, for a weekend where some were on officials, some were on unofficial visits. But that one last reminder of this is what you're signing up for, that's what stood out to me when you see the pictures and stuff like that. One final say, hey, this is your group. This is why you chose Penn State.
And what may make this one a little bit different than in other years, and you hit on it early, Dustin, was right now it looks like their number's at 92, and they have to get it down to 85.
Yeah.
That's another challenge, isn't it?
But it's what I always say, and we'll save some of this for later, but attrition comes from the strangest of places sometimes, and just wait until – like you see – teams that whose seasons have ended or they've gone through coaching transitions, like the transfer portal is gonna light up after bowl season. I'm pretty sure the transfer portal. I don't know if that's Penn State or not. It was last year, but the numbers are gonna come from somewhere.
And what we saw last year, the quantity of players at Penn State who went to the portal was huge, and I think was shocking.
Yeah.
To Penn State fans, but how many of those players that left did you find yourself this year saying, boy, wouldn't it have been nice if we still had that player?
Yeah.
I can think Juwan Johnson is one that I think could have helped this team.
Yeah, I mean, to suggest that, like, for him in particular, like, they came to the end of the road. Penn State and Juwan Johnson came to the end of the road. Had they not, and Juwan Johnson, just from physical, like, I feel like he would have bounced back. You know, just that he made some impact catches for Oregon. You know, the way that the defensive backfield looked, it would have been fun to see Zach McPherson maybe get a run in this environment. But, you know, it was a unique situation for Penn State last year because they had so many young kids who kind of charged past other guys who were older, who had been on campus for a year or two longer. And when that happens, that the situation was ripe for numbers. There's going to be some again. And we can look at the scholarship table. We can look where they're deep. We can look at guys who maybe could have considered 2019 a disappointment personally, playing time, whatever. And we can circle some names that, like, let's keep an eye on them. You know, the situation might call for them to get a change of scenery someplace else.
Definitely. And James Franklin seems to be the type of guy who's on top of this type of thing. It's not going to be last minute, all of a sudden he's shocked because he has too many numbers.
Yeah.
So I suspect he knows a whole lot more about who's coming, who's going in particular, yeah, than we do. So I do think there's going to be some attrition that may surprise us, but would not be a surprise to James Franklin.
So Andy Frank came on our show, well, I don't know, a couple years ago now. And I think one of the things that just struck me was the way that he talked about viewing their roster in terms of numbers, in terms of it being a very fluid situation. It's their job collectively, and James Franklin, you know, obviously at the top of the food chain, to really be looking at this as a daily thing almost. You know, where are our numbers? Where are they next year? Where are they the year after that? Having these conversations with kids to kind of know where their heads are at all times. I don't think being at 92 this time of year is an uncommon occurrence at all. Now, the 2020 class is big. Absolutely. I mean, at 27, and he's talking about maybe getting it to 30, but they wouldn't have made that suggestion. They wouldn't have this many commits if they didn't know what the situation was already. So we can sit here and we can speculate and we can say it's at 92 and that's a nervous thing. Like, what are they going to do? What if guys don't go to the NFL? What if guys don't go into the transfer portal? But coaches have a way of making that happen if it doesn't happen on their own.
Right. They figure it out. But let's also make sure we explain these numbers, what we're talking about. You and I know them very well. We talk about it every week, it seems. But 85 is the total number of scholarships that you have. So if they're projected to be at 92, they have to get that down to 85. The other number to look at is they're allowed 25 scholarships per year for incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
And they're going to shoot for 28 or 29. But the way they make that work is the kids who enroll early, say in the spring here in January, that number will be counted towards last year. So that's how they reduce that to 25. But as our buddy Greg Pickle always says, the important number is the 85.
Yeah.
Whether you push them forward or back, however you want to phrase it, they still count against the 85 right. Either way. So that's the more important number and the one we'll be looking at most.
We'll look at a little bit deeper in the next segment, just position by position and seeing where they're deep and all that. Seeing where they've got additional numbers that maybe there are some numbers to spare. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking back at the past week or so in Penn State football, recruiting weekend, a new commit last week that I know that the other guys got a chance to talk about, but we didn't, so I want to get your thoughts on him. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Never too early to look at 2020. That's exactly where our heads are at right now. You put down a deposit, you can reserve an RV, all kinds of different choices of luxurious RVs to take in a football weekend in Happy Valley at GoPSURV.com. Check out the details on that offer. $250 down. Get a deposit down for and reserve for Blue White or any home game next season. Check it out at GoPSURV.com. Theo Johnson is the commit that I was referring to, and I know that that happened, what, Monday? You know, we record Monday's show, right. And then almost always news happens. So we're sitting here doing it now, which means something good's going to happen a little bit later today.
Well, whether it's good or not, it will happen.
Something impactful will happen after we get done doing what we do here. But Theo Johnson, just a huge, for all kinds of reasons, for his ability, for the position he plays, for the continuity at the tight end spot, for the way that they went about winning this recruitment when it looked like they were the leader. Then he pushes back his decision. It looks like maybe an Iowa or a Michigan or Georgia, whoever else was involved beyond those teams, looked like that was an opening for them, and Penn State sealed the deal anyway. So there's a lot to really love about getting Theo Johnson. I think you can probably say, you know, Curtis Jacobs, I think, is their highest rated commit. I felt for a while that Theo Johnson was maybe their most important prospect out there.
As you pointed out, for a lot of different reasons, and I believe this year's recruiting class is getting a little bit of a bad rap, and it's damning with faint praise. There's good quantity, if not quality, which I believe is a little bit unfair, but with that perception going on, I think getting a very highly rated guy like this, Theo Johnson, I believe he's this second highest rated recruit. So that's important. It's a big recruit, not only literally, he's a big kid. And at that position, after Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, could we be looking at tight end university also?
Yeah, I mean, the way that things are shaping up, and I think they like Brenton Strange. I think they like what they've seen so far from Zach Kuntz. He had a lot of development to take care of when he got to campus because he's, you know, 6'7". He was probably, what, 230 pounds when he got there? I mean, not to be too open, but I weigh about 230 pounds, minus 6 inches. So and
it's just structured a little bit differently
I have just as much development to do, but it's a lot more more hopeless on me than it is on Coons. But I think they like those guys. Do you love them? Are they star caliber players? I'm not certain of that. I feel more certain saying Theo Johnson could be because he's built exactly the way you want him to be built as a tight end. And you're right, the continuity now, if you know, Pat Freiermuth staying or leaving was a real nervous moment for a lot of reasons, not only because the passing game hadn't shown a lot of depth beyond Hamler and Freiermuth and all that, but I wasn't sure what this position was going to look like in 2020, 2021 without him. Now, Theo Johnson comes in. I really believe that he is a guy who could be their number two tight end by the time it's all said and done. He's going to enroll in January. Physically, he's about where you want him to be anyway. You can see him at 242 pounds, 6'6". You can easily see him being 6'6", 255 by the time August rolls around. Easily see him doing that.
And the other part to this is, remember, this is the first time, this past season is the first time in years we saw two tight ends effectively on the field. You know, yeah. Bowers was a weapon as that second tight end. And they also used their tight end in the running game as a lead blocker, even with this new type of running, these advancements they made to the running game. So, again, no offense to 6'6", 220-pound, you know, Zach Kuntz, but this kid looks like he could carry the burden of blocking tight end also.
Some kids just look different. And in the evaluation game, you know, like sometimes you can just see the difference between, you know, everybody can miss, but you can see the difference between somebody who borders on can't miss and somebody who doesn't. And Theo Johnson borders on can't miss. The way that he looks, the way that he plays, how athletic he is, you know, his desire and ability to be physical. He is a real impact addition to this class. And late in the game like this and facing some odds, I thought it was an impressive job by James Franklin and his staff to get to the finish line with this kid who's from Canada. They're recruiting Canada really well, too. That's a whole other component of this.
Well, and it's great to recapture that momentum. And real quick, our buddy Ross Tucker talks about that, the looks test. He would go to the high school All-American game. He saw some of the Ohio State DBs, and he said, these guys look like NFL defensive backs already. That's the way this kid looks. He looks like an NFL body for a tight end.
Yeah, big addition, 27 commits in all. We're going to look a little bit more at each player in this class in the context of the 2020 depth chart. There are some questions about where they stand scholarship-wise, so we'll get into that. Greg Pickle assembled those numbers for us. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the players and what to be excited about as you look ahead to 2020 and all the depth Penn State brings back. First, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas gift box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron. All in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com. And don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.